Okay, good. So I'm glad to be here with you. While Leo and Clint and others are at a meeting in Texas, I'm glad to be able to share with you. And also, it's been a joy for me to be able to work with the McCows and Masons concerning the Orphan Sunday. Wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the Orphan Sunday and then get to Scripture, actually the Scripture and what we're going to talk about on Orphan Sunday. So talking about religion that God accepts. I find myself sometimes I get into a rut. I go to church because I'm supposed to, and I'm a denominational guy, so I'm supposed to end up in churches. And then when I preach, I'm supposed to preach. And so, but even still, religion kind of just, that's something I do. That's something I'm involved with. That's just who I am right now. But I wanted to focus a little more on Orphan Sunday and then get into this scripture passage, James 1, 26-27. So I wanted to start with this. Can you see what that, can you read it? And how good your eyes are. Good news, Pastor. The Grumblestones have agreed not to file suit if you promise not to preach against sin anymore. And we can laugh at that, and we think it's, I think it's kind of funny. But it, in a litigious society like we're in, you get sued for a lot of things. So here's a pastor that is told that if he doesn't preach against sin, then that's going to be good. So, well, I'm not going to preach against sin today, but I am going to talk about orphans. So, in talking about orphans, this is a Bible study, a small group Bible study, God's Heart for the Orphans. Rick and Kay, what's his last name? Warren, yeah. Rick Warren is a pastor in California, and he's written this. And it's a small group study, and a good one to look at. I wanted to share that with you. We won't do the study, but just go through the points. The point of this study that the Warrens have done is Psalm 68, 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. So the point of this verse and several that we'll be looking at is God wants to be the father. He wants people to be in family. He wants them to connect. So God's heart for the orphan. It starts out with six different outlines. This is part of the outline. So open your heart to the orphans. Recognize your responsibility. Prevent children from becoming orphans. Help them in practical ways. You know, with the next two? Accept orphans into families. And then never forget the church. So this is the outline that he uses and the scripture he uses for this study. And it's something that, if you'd be interested, there's a booklet that you'd be able to have and work through with a group, have conversations about these different pieces. The scriptures that are supporting this, open your heart to the orphans from Psalm chapter 10. The helpless put their trust in you. You defend the orphans. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed, so people can no longer terrify them. And what this study is saying is to open your heart, just open your mind, be aware of the needs of children. I think there are over 500,000 children in the United States that are open to foster care, involved in foster care, and over 100,000 of those are in process of being adopted. So just being aware, open your hearts to the fact that there are people, there are children, there are those who are helpless, vulnerable, that need the church to be aware. So open your heart to the orphans. And then this passage we're going to look at, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So again, just being open to the need, open to the awareness that that there are children that need our help. Recognize your responsibility, and he uses a verse in Jeremiah 7. If you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. And while that is addressing some of the responsibility that we have as believers, as followers of Christ, as children of God, just to recognize that there are people that need support and encouragement and help that we can give. So recognize our responsibility as a church. And in Psalm 68, a father to the fatherless, the defender of widows is God of the holy dwelling. We looked at that. That's the theme for us for this whole thing. preventing children from becoming orphans, and Isaiah learned to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Again, being aware of and involved in the needs that are around us, and do what we need to do to prevent children from becoming orphans. Now, that's a lot. You look at the world and all the stuff's going on in the world, and for me, that's overwhelming. What can I do? One person, Rochester, Minnesota, 2015. What can I do? And yet, being aware, opening your heart, and doing these things, just preventing, doing what we can. Like it says here, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. So, being aware of that. Deuteronomy, help them in practical ways. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. So helping in practical ways, he uses this, and not just the orphans and widows, but those who are foreigners, those who have need, he says, give food and clothing, help in practical ways. And this next verse is one that we're aware of a lot. There it is, Matthew 25. For I was hungry, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples as an example. It's, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. So he used that as an example, as he was challenging his disciples. But if you remember that passage, they said, well, when did this happen? God, when were you hungry? When were you thirsty? When did you have this need? And Jesus' response is, when you see others that have needs, the little ones around us, orphans and widows, and those in need, you need to do the practical things to give them help. So helping them in practical ways, whatever that need is, hunger, thirst, clothing, shelter, love, acceptance, part of family, helping them in practical ways. Deuteronomy 24, do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. So God, again, challenging the people to help in practical ways. And as he says, don't deprive them of justice. Look after them. Do what you need to do to provide for them. So, accept orphans into families. How will orphans be able to recognize, understand family if they don't have a family? That's kind of the basis for this study as well. To accept them into families, a father to the fatherless is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. To give them an example of what it means to be family. Janice and I at one time were foster parents, and part of our thinking was with the two boys we had the longest time, was to give them some sense of family, of belonging, of being a part, and being the children. And so it was an interesting experience for Janice and I. It had its challenges, but had its joys as well. Just providing family for those in need. Ephesians 1, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Accepting them into families. God has called us. God's accepted us. God's adopted us into the family. And now we need to respond to those in need around us. So accepting orphans into the family. Then the last, one more verse. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So accepting orphans into families. Then the last one is the not forgetting the church. Can you forward the next one, please? Okay. Proverbs 24, if you say, but we knew nothing about this, does he not weigh the heart? Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everything according to what they have done? So again, the challenge, if we, like it says, we don't know, we could say we don't know anything about it, and yet we are aware there is a need. There are the helpless, the hopeless, the orphans, the widows, those in need. And as a church, we need to respond. So never forget the church, church responsibility. James 4, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for them. So again, being aware of and knowing the need, and then need to decide, okay, God, what can I do? How can I fit into this? What steps do I need to take? And then that challenge again from this study, if you're interested in a study like that, you can talk with Sarah and Donnie, or Sarah and Tally, or you talk to me, or Leo, or Clint, and we'd be happy to work with you in putting a group together to have a conversation about those things. So again, just God's heart for the orphan. And that gives and lead into me just for these few verses, these few moments, a religion that God accepts. Often we go to church and we think we have done our thing. We've come to church at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. We sit in comfortable pews. We're around people we like. We listen to somebody say, we listen to the music, and then we listen to somebody speak a little bit, and we go home, and we think we've done our religious duty for the week. But what we find in this these verses in James chapter 1, that is not all that that God intends, expects from religion. So if you would turn your Bibles, or if you want to look at the screen, I'll have it up here. Religion that God accepts from these two verses in James. So James chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So as we see in those verses, God expects more than just a Sunday morning appearance by us. It's more than just sit in comfortable pews and let things pass by and then think we've done all that we need to do. According to these verses, those who consider themselves religious and yet don't do a few things, that worship is useless. It is vain. It is not worth anything. So let's take a look at these two verses. I wanted to practical rules for everyday living. Is James is a book that does give a lot of practical steps, things to do in everyday living, just the way to live. If you're familiar with James chapter 1, he talks about how if you lack wisdom, to ask God, and God gives wisdom. He talks about a number of things, just practical steps for us to do. Blessed is the man who endures trials. If stuff's going to happen in life, he talks about that. He talks about don't be deceived. Every generous act and every perfect gift is shown is come down from God, the Father of lights. So you can read through that, but all the things that he has to say in James chapter 1 comes down to these two verses, the practical rules for everyday living. He talks about the attitudes and actions. Like I said, for me to go to church, and just as a matter of habit, I've gone to church virtually every Sunday of my life. My mom and dad were churchgoers the first day, first Sunday I was on earth. God, my parents took me to church. I've heard about God all my life. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every time the church door was open, my parents took us. We were there all the time. And now in a ministry position, I'm at church a lot. I'm not there every Sunday. I'm not here every Sunday. This is three Sundays in a row, though. For me, that's pretty good. But to be here in church every Sunday, I'm somewhere in church on a Sunday in Minnesota or Wisconsin. I'm here as I can during the week on Wednesdays and other special occasions and other places. So, but what the attitude that I have does make a difference. So for me, just to show up at church is not enough. For all of us, the attitudes and actions. What he says in these verses: those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Now, he's not just talking about having a loose tongue, talking and doing all those things. He's talking about the attitude and the actions of churchgoers. So to consider ourselves, can we do some interaction? So tell me what would it look like, those who, like it says in that verse, those who consider themselves religious. What do you consider religious? How do you see religious people? What would be an indication of being religious? Going to church, we've got that. Anything else? How they greet others? Treat others, okay. How they greet also. How they treat others, good. Anything else? To be religious is to look pious. And don't say the wrong things at the wrong time, or do say the right things at the right time. You know what to say and how to say them. Oh, God bless you, and things like that. There's more to life than just looking, appearing religious. And there's more than just using the tongue, or the use of the tongue. What James is saying here is that you need to consider the attitudes and actions of your life. If you consider yourselves religious, are you religious just because you come here on a Sunday morning? No. Are you religious just because you say the right things to the right people? No. So you can figure that out. Those who consider themselves religious, the attitudes and actions do make a difference. Also, he's talking about the acceptable heart mindset and posture and beliefs. A religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. And he states those things. So the mindset, the thought process, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to do the right things at the right time in the right ways. So the accessible heart, mindset, posture, and beliefs. And then the third point is personal responsibilities we have to address those in need. He talks about here the two things that he says, pure and undefiled religion is to look after the orphans and widows in distress. And then the second responsibility is maintain spiritual integrity. So he gives us that outline as far as our actions. If you think you're religious, that's not all there is. There's a heart attitude, a heart mindset, the thinking, and doing these things. So then the practical things that we need to do, some next steps. Do a personal attitude check. So again, do that personal. Where are you in this? If you just come to church because of habit, because of it's Sunday and you're supposed to, you need to do the attitude check. What is my attitude in coming to church? And sometimes I know we get tired. Sometimes we're not very enthusiastic. Sometimes life just kind of gets to be, man, so tired. But to do that attitude check, personal attitude check, the second thing, second step, is do spiritual inventory, your thoughts or actions. Am I like what James is talking about? If I think religion is just doing these certain things, but do your personal inventory. And then the third thing is to do something to help orphans and widows and those in need that will make an eternal difference. So my challenge for you this morning is like James says here, religion, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue in the actions, deceive themselves and their worship is worthless. I don't want us at Emmanuel Baptist Church to have worthless worship. It needs to be focused on God, doing the things God challenges. And then he gives us a challenge, religion that God accepts as pure and holy and faultless. Look after the widows in their distress and keep yourself from being polluted by the world. So that part for me, keeping yourself unpolluted by the world, when I think of pollution, I think well, the air is pretty clear, so I don't think there's much pollution there, but there is stuff in the air. There is stuff around us in the water, and so there's some pollution there. Perhaps for us, there's more pollution on the internet. So however you define that, keeping ourselves unpolluted from the world, that's what God wants. Doing something to make an eternal difference and keeping ourselves, our spiritual walk, in line with Him. So the challenge that we have for Orphan Sunday is just to be aware of God's heart for the orphan. God is concerned for people around us. He has given us a challenge that as believers, as followers of Christ, as a church family, we need to do what we can do to help those who are vulnerable, those who need the help, those that we're aware of, and be involved as we can be in their lives. We're going to have a couple of our families telling stories. So Sarah and Donnie, if you'd come and share, and then there's a video, and then Sarah, and if you'll come and share. So.
Yeah. It's just me, because it's just a little bit less chaotic that way. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to talk a little bit this morning about our personal experience. And I just want to start off by saying how grateful we are that we're part of a church that really cares about orphans. As a family, we've experienced in really profound ways what it means to be encouraged and supported by our church family as we followed God's leading to bring three beautiful girls into our family. We're a part of this church and we're really grateful for that, but it's very evident to us that this church has become a really big part of who we are as a family, and we're really grateful for that. As we've shared with you before, our adoption experiences have been incredible journeys of faith for us. We didn't pursue adoption because we wanted children and we were going to do just anything to get them, primarily, anyway. We didn't do it because we thought we were the people who could cope with all the challenges. We didn't do it because we had enormous financial resources and we thought that was a good way to use them. And we didn't do it because we thought we'd look really cool, or because we knew we'd be the best parents ever, or because we needed someone to look after us when we were old. Although that's a bonus, you know. But we did it primarily in obedience to a call to step out in faith, not knowing really what was in store for us, or how God would provide for us, and how He would continue to provide for us. That bit's ongoing. And God grew in our hearts a passion for the orphan child. And in doing so, He has taught us more and is teaching us more of His incredible love for us and His heart, the heart that God has for the fatherless and for the needy and for the oppressed and for the helpless. It's like to us, by commanding us to care for orphans, God wanted to give us an opportunity to learn more of who He is and what He has done for us and how He loves us. In adoption, a child who has no natural claim on you and who is helpless to help themselves and has nothing material to offer you, and is the product of so much brokenness, and brings with them all sorts of wreckage and hurt and pain, that child you pursue and you love and you sacrifice for, and you make them part of your family, and you give them your name, and you share with them all that you have. And their life is transformed from one of desperate want and loneliness to a life that enjoys enormous wealth just because they're part of a family. And a situation that is broken in the extreme becomes something so incredibly beautiful. And what a picture of the gospel and what God does for us. We will never forget being in China and going through an interview with an official after Olivia had been placed with us and being asked via interpretation if we were satisfied with her, like we had just purchased a product. It was so distasteful to us because it so clearly highlighted the enormous difference between how we saw her life and how they saw it. And it's an ongoing challenge to me, you know, do I see, because a child is physically not healthy, or because their mind doesn't work properly, do we guilty sometimes of valuing them slightly differently? Anyway, that interview just really drove home to us that if you don't have God's value on that child, then your actions will show that and the way you see them. Our guide told us that most people in China cannot fathom, it's beyond their ability to understand why anyone would go to so much trouble and expense to take what in their eyes is a worthless orphan and bring them across the world and make them part of their family. They think that it's a function of some kind of madness that possesses people in the West who have too much money. They really do. And Song and Lee told us that that's true. They think that we have so much money that we're just a bit deranged and we would do something so ridiculous. Because without seeing that life as God sees it, orphan care and adoption doesn't make any sense. The godless worldview is survival of the fittest, so the weak are doomed to fail. And that's what part of the toxic doctrine of evolution, where it leads us away from God's value system. If we don't see the orphan as God sees them, then there's little motivation for doing anything about it. It doesn't need to be my problem. The risks are too high, the sacrifices are too great, it's too difficult, it's too uncomfortable, and it maybe isn't even very gratifying. But God has commanded us to engage with this need. In His eyes, that life that's bereft of love and support is so very precious. And he would use us, his hands and feet, to live out his heart of love for them and to show them that to him, and therefore to us, they are so very valuable and so very important. And it's not an easy road, but that shouldn't surprise us because obedience typically isn't easy. And neither is swimming upstream in a culture that doesn't operate according to the truth of God's word. But I wonder, and I have no idea what this looks like, but could God use us to impact in this huge area of need just a little bit more to make advances in his kingdom in this area that he considers to be so important? There's this mission field of abandoned children across the world and across this country and even right here in Minnesota. And we're burdened today to focus on a particular area of orphan care that's not as familiar to us. It's not as easy. It's not maybe as comfortable. We've become familiar with the needs being addressed by domestic adoption of infants. We have 4 children in this church that came into their families through domestic adoption of infant programs. And we have a little understanding through our experience of adopting Olivia, of the enormous needs of orphans across the world. But what about those children right here in Minnesota? Children who are currently living in foster care waiting to be adopted into a permanent family. Children that are full of challenges and trauma and brokenness and amazing potential. Our experience working with Chris, who most of you all know, has brought into sharp focus for us the reality of the dreadful consequences that can result from a childhood of neglect and abandonment. Chris was, he knows I'm talking about him today, and he's actually amazed that we would take the time to do this kind of thing today. Anyway, he was placed into foster care when he was 9 and lived in foster care. He was removed from a home where drugs and alcohol were the order of the day. And he aged out of foster care at 18, and that means that if you're not adopted and you get to 18 and you're in foster care, then you're on your own. And we were talking to him recently in the home about Orphan Sunday, and we're preparing the video that you're about to see, and he said to us, "Can you imagine what different my life would be if you guys had adopted me? It wouldn't be anything like it is now," which kind of broke my heart. So as you watch this video, please pray for the orphan children in Minnesota in particular. Pray for Christian families to be raised up to care for them, to adopt them, and show them God's love. And ask God how he would use us as individuals and as families and as a church to make advances in this area, this huge area of need. And why don't we just dream big about what God could do? And I don't know what that looks like, but what God could do through us if we were just willing to show his love, whatever that took, to the least of these. Thank you, Miriam.
I feel like I should have gone first. I'm a little bit more emotional now after watching the video. It's really exciting to be able to be here this morning to talk about Orphan Sunday and how it really kind of impacts our lives and through our church has impacted every one of you as well. Excuse me. When Talon and I first started to think about adoption, God really thrusted it upon us. It was never something on our radar, and when God finally decided to lay upon our heart, he really just blew us over with what an impact that might make to a child in need. When we started walking down the road, of adoption, it became very clear to me what it meant for me to be adopted by Christ. It became very profound to me to understand what it meant to be royal, to be part of his priesthood. So as I watch that video, we hear about the kings and queens of children and how through ministry to them, and to help them in their practical needs, like Steve was talking about, how every one of those aspects he mentioned makes an impact for these children who desire love and affection. When Sarah talked about her experience in China, being asked about Olivia's life, and thank you, and if it was acceptable, it reminded me of a situation that we had with Samuel as well. I remember very vividly, we went to meet him, and after we'd already held him in our hands, they then took him back and said, well, we need to go and do some administrative things. And we sat down at a table, and at that point, they actually asked us, do you still feel like he's, you know, called to be your child? And I thought, how unbelievable could someone hold somebody in their arms and then to reject them and just say no? And how grateful I am that we were given the opportunity to be his parents. We are very grateful for a church who has supported us through every aspect of our adoption, through encouragement, through financial support, even in the difficult uncertainties, especially with Samuel's adoption. Having a room of prayer warriors to support us through this, and not only for us, but for my children, to know that they are loved and accepted and embraced for who they are, and not from where they come from, and to celebrate who they'll become. Because Emmanuel has been so instrumental in both Macau's and our family's adoptions, we want to do something to try to help bring back some of the benefits that we've given. Each one of you have been personally supported and invested into our family's growth, and what you may not be aware of, and which some of you are, is that there is a adoption fund that is owned by Emmanuel Baptist Church, and there's an adoption fund to help support families financially through adoption. Both of our families have experienced the blessing of receiving a grant from this adoption fund. And what we would like to do this month, because it's Adoption Awareness Month, is to help give back to that, but also to help encourage every one of you to focus on orphan care this month specifically and be in prayer for those children that you just saw on that screen and for those that are not seen on that screen. We have jars in the back table that I'd like to actually see gone by the end of today. They have a verse on them and just an encouragement to you to pray for the orphans and then to actually think about practical ways that we can meet the needs of those in need. Sarah and I were talking this past week in preparation for today, and something that we just talked about was how we would love to be able to see the adoption fund here at Emmanuel be used for orphan care. And so what we'd love to do is be able to contribute to that. So our slogan, I guess, today is to make a change, and to make a change in those children's lives. And so to make a change, we've got mason jars on the back table for you to put your change, your coins and your dollars into, and throughout this next month. And we'll be encouraging you to participate in the adoption fund here at Emmanuel through those donations and giving that back to the cause for other families that might be interested in not necessarily maybe adopting, but maybe it's finding an avenue to minister to those in need. All those things that Steve talked about this morning. We have such a passion and desire to really be here for you and for those who might have interest and are unfamiliar with the system and how it works and the challenges that come in place with being an adoptive family. And we would have a strong heart to minister to you and to say, if you have a desire, you feel God calling your heart to really reach out to orphans or foster care to speak to us. And we would be loved to walk that road with you and to be in prayer with you and encourage you and share the knowledge that we've gained over the number of adoptions that we between our families have gone through and the connections that we have made as well. So thank you for being here this morning and bearing through me crying. It's very personal, and I'm glad that we can be able to share and to just stress the importance of what we are called to do biblically and how exciting it is to be able to see our church kind of walk this road, and we're excited to see how God will use this church to explode orphan care and orphan awareness into our community here, right here in Rochester. So thank you.
I'm glad that our church family has seen the need and been able to respond to the need to help these two families, but also now an opportunity to go on beyond that. The Jars of Hope in the back, just in the middle here, the table behind there in the middle, there are some jars. And when those funds, what you guys said is to bring back to the church the change and be put in the orphan fund. So when you give an offering like you did earlier today, a part of that goes into this orphan fund. So it's an ongoing giving part that our church has done. I appreciate your encouragement, your part of that. And as the scripture verse says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows, those in need, ministering, making an eternal difference, as well as keeping ourselves unpolluted by the world. Thank you for the challenge that God has given and your response to that. We're going to close with prayer, and then if you'd like to talk with the Masons or the Mickows, they'll be available to talk after. And if you take one of the Jars of Hope and put your change in that and bring that back to the church and bring the adoption blessing. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed as we pray. Father, I'm thankful that you are a father to the fatherless. I'm thankful that you have a heart for the orphans. I'm thankful that you have called us to be a part of what you're doing to make a difference in the lives of those who are vulnerable, helpless, who have bleak futures, and yet we can do a part, bring them into the family, your family. Thank you, God, for bringing us into your family. Now challenge us as we go from this place. Speak to our hearts. Help us to respond as you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.